Hello, welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, reminding you that we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We try to cover a wide range of subjects on health, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and exercise. You can listen to this show and all other shows that we've taped if you go through myvillagegreen.com, and you should go on www.myvillagegreen.com. They have lots of expert advice. There's information that you can use. You can also ask the expert. You can also get a lot of natural products and supplements. So myvillagegreen.com is the place to go. Now, topics today include always news you can use, the natural approaches to depression from exercise, lifestyle, and diet to supplements. So these are tidbits that I hope you can walk away from this show and you have something that you can do, something you've heard on the show that helps your health. Now, our topic today is cardiovascular, and we will be talking to Ann Allworth, and this is going to be an exciting conversation. We are going to dispel some myths about cholesterol, and I look forward to talking with Ann. So let's go through some of the things about depression. We've talked about natural approaches to depression before, and we always start with diet. It's really simple. And by the way, the diet for depression is the diet for heart disease, the diet to avoid autoimmunity, the diet to keep your immune system. So it's helpful in many, many ways, because if a diet is good for you, it should have many cascading effects that are beneficial. First of all, we want good protein. Protein has to be digested to amino acids. They're absorbed and they make neurotransmitters. And if you don't get enough protein, you eventually break down your muscle tissue in order to get those amino acids. So proteins include fish, poultry, meat, eggs, beans, nuts, and seeds, and milk products if they're tolerated. And we always say go organic. On good carbohydrates, they are the same foods as in the good proteins, beans, nuts, and seeds. And I'll repeat these again because they have the good fatty acids. So beans, nuts, and seeds, contrary to the old pyramid that had people avoiding nuts and seeds, these are wonder foods, beans, nuts, and seeds. Also, carbohydrates include vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. And we've talked about this before. I do not recommend eating a lot of the bagels, pasta breads, cold cereals, crackers, etc. They are grains ground into flour. They are glycemic. They are sugar raising, even have a greater sugar raising effect to the bloodstream than a tablespoon of white sugar. And that's because they're pure glucose. Whole grains means the fermented, cooked, not ground into flour. Real oatmeal, not instant. Real cream of wheat, not instant. Brown, basmati wild rice, buckwheat, kasha cereal. And if you eat breads, you should make sure you're getting 5 to 10 grams of fiber a slice, and that's not going to be a fluffy piece of bread. It's going to be very dense and a little bit firm, even a little bit hard. Good fats. Omega-3, EPA, and DHA. The brain loves DHA. It's made of DHA. And the direct sources come from fish and egg yolks. There are vegetable sources, but they're not direct. They're vegetable sources called ALA. And they're from beans, nuts, and seeds. Here they are again. I keep mentioning those. But they have to convert to EPA and DHA, and some people don't do that well. Cats don't do this, which is why they are carnivores. But humans can convert, so get the combination. And of course, avoid trans fatty acids, hydrogenated oils. They block omega-3, and this is epigenetic. So if your grandmother consumed margarine, it has a three-generational effect on your health, and it can mean that you need far more omega-3 fatty acids than societies that have never been exposed to trans fats, which are mutant plastic fatty acids, have no place in human health. Now, if you're hungry after a few hours, either your meal was too glycemic, sugar raising, or you're just chronically weak in the adrenals. This is not adrenal disease. The adrenals convert stored glycogen to glucose in order to keep blood sugar stable for us between meals. And they get tired of doing this. So if we have glycemic diets where we have a bagel and coffee for breakfast, up goes blood sugar, down it pounds as we over-release insulin, and that triggers the adrenals to rescue us. How do you know if you have weak adrenals? You're constantly thirsty, you're pale, you stand up quickly and get dizzy, you're weak. Those are the main symptoms. You will run a low body temperature, you're cold, you can't warm up when it's cold. So stable blood glucose is extremely important, and we've talked about that a lot on the show. Now, what about alternatives to antidepressants? Well, I would put exercise as number one. It stimulates endorphins, the feel-good chemicals in the brain, and there are lots of studies that indicate it has the effect of regular exercise is comparable to taking something like Zoloft or Lexapro. And it's not that medications can't be helpful. It's that the body wasn't intended to need antidepressants. If you need them and you've tried everything else, then that's what you need to do. But there are lots of other ways of dealing with depression. Cognitive behavior therapy. It's a form of therapy. I call it problem-solving therapy. It's about the here and now, problems and difficulties and how to deal with them. I also call it life skills. It's basic life skills for dealing with the obvious stressors that are going to occur in our lives. Whether we cause them or not, we are surrounded by stressors. St. John's wort has been very popular. There's a lot of good literature on it. It's at least as effective as Paxil in many studies. And it helps with serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. Now, let me back up a step and say when people suffer from depression, they usually have abnormalities in the neurotransmitter serotonin and the dopamine pathway, which includes norepinephrine. They can also have problems in tyrosine, which converts to dopamine, and dopamine, the dopamine pathway or neurotransmitters. And if there's anxiety or obsessive compulsive disorder or phobias, then the neurotransmitter GABA is involved. And GABA's also an amino acid. GABA is the anti-anxiety pathway. It's where Valium works. And all of these medications that we use for depression and anxiety can only work if they plug in to a neurotransmitter. So these neurotransmitters are dependent upon good amino acids. And remember, if you don't digest well and you don't get enough amino acids, your tissues will break them down. The tissues will break down some of the protein to give you amino acids. We like to use 5-hydroxytryptophan as a precursor to serotonin. That's been very reliable, and it's very safe with children. Light therapy, another non-invasive anti-depression modality, and light therapy increases melatonin and serotonin, but it also increases vitamin D. And vitamin D has an anti-depression effect. So the winter blues can be due to the lack of light as well as the lack of vitamin D. S-adenosyl methionine, SAMe, it's a methyl donor, very popular, and it works very well in some people. Massage, always reliable. Acupuncture can be phenomenal, and some people respond better to one form than the other. Yoga and meditation, and always magnesium and B vitamins. Magnesium is necessary for all of the neurotransmitters to function, and B vitamins fire the energy metabolism pathways, and B12, B6, and folic acid are particularly important to neurotransmitter function. So we've given you a rundown. I hope it's helpful. I want you to stay with us because we have some interesting information from Ann Allworth, and we'll be talking about cardiovascular health. This is Dana Lake, welcoming you to stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living, sponsored by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour, and I want to introduce you to Anne Allworth. She's been on the show before. Anne is a national educator and consultant for Mega Food, which is a premium whole food supplement company. And Anne has some information for us on cardiovascular disease, and I hope you're listening, because we're going to dispel that old myth that our vessels are like pipes and that sediment called plaque eventually builds up and clogs the arteries and the cholesterol causes the problem. So this is the scientific evidence, and we've talked about this for years in alternative medicine, but it is now mainstream, isn't it, Anne?
Yes, it is, Dana, and thank you for having me on the show again.
We always enjoy you here.
Well, thank you. So, yes, indeed, this myth is longstanding, and it has become more people have become more aware of you, as you've said, but still, in all, I have to say, I was in my doctor's office not even a few months ago, and there were diagrams of the pipe filling up with cholesterol.
Yes.
So the pipes, that we're talking about are pipes that are our arteries, and our arteries, of course, are part of the cardiovascular system, which is connected to the heart. And, it's a pretty simple system that just involves the heart, which is the pump, and then the arteries, which lead to the capillary beds where the exchange of nutrients and wastes occur, and then out of the capillary bed comes the venules, which then, get larger and larger until ultimately, the carbon dioxide and wastes are carried back, to the various places they need to be. Mainly the blood is all going to ultimately go back to the heart to be, to have the carbon dioxide removed at the lungs and then reoxygenated. But the system, is an amazing system, and the thing about it is that and there are many, many problems that can occur, and a lot of them are what we call silent killers. So things like high blood pressure that people aren't aware of, and they may have for years, and they're not aware of it, causes a stress and strain on the vasculature, which could be contributing to the development of plaques. Chronic inflammatory response, I think, is probably one of the biggest issues that leads to the vessels developing plaque. And we should talk about that. This is one of the forms of arteriosclerosis, is what we call atherosclerosis, and that's when the plaques are formed. Now, should we go right ahead into and start talking about what really happens there?
I would really like to, because there's this confusion, as you know, and that cholesterol attacks and attaches to the vessels. And I've told our listeners before that cholesterol cannot attach to a healthy vessel. It is somewhat like Velcro. Mm-hmm. It needs something to attach to, and that it's responding to the injury in the vessel, and that this injury is actually not right in that lining. It's in the intima.
Right
underneath. And so, and this is, I just want to remind our listeners that this is standard information now, that the intima is where it happens. But some people still think that the LDL sticky cholesterol is causing the problem. That's like saying the smoke alarm is causing the fire. It is responding to the injury. So let's talk a little bit about what happens inside that intima when there's inflammation.
Sure. And, I think it's important also to talk about all the kinds of things that can cause the injury. And,
yeah, let's start there.
And these include, various chemicals in your body, and certainly free radicals that are floating around. High blood pressure, chronic high blood pressure causes injuries. Chronic ingestion of harmful substances. A lot of people don't even realize they're, ingesting arsenic and various other kinds of things. Homocysteine is a huge problem. High homocysteine levels, we know, causes nicks in the intima that set off the reaction. Oxidized LDLs and peroxidized LDLs, and also chronic bacterial or viral infections, and we know that chlamydia, cytomegalovirus, and even H. pylori are some of the common ones that can cause the injuries to begin. But you know, what happens, so all of those things can be causative agents, and certainly, you know, collectively they could, you know, they're going to cause more of a problem, and there'll be a synergistic effect of creating more and more plaques. But the plaques begin when this injury happens, and just like any other injury in your body that sets off an alarm to the immune system to repair an injury. So that causes an inflammatory process to occur that, you know, will heal the injury. And if it, you know, is just a one-time thing and then it's over, that's fine. But that's not, you know, unfortunately what happens in our arteries. And usually what happens is that it marks the seed of plaque growth. And then the plaque begins growing slowly over time. And when you talk about what's happening in terms of the intima, the intima is the innermost lining of the blood vessel wall. And so there are cells that live there, and then those cells are going to respond by the cells that are injured in the intima respond also by releasing substances that will cause, they're called chemotactic substances, so they cause subset of immune cells called macrophages will come in there and try to, begin to fix the problem.
And I just want to describe, because you used a good word, chemotactic. Uh-huh. And what that means is the cells are injured, they're in trouble, they send out a message to attract the monocytes to come in as macrophages to clean up the mess.
Exactly. And then that problem, you know, it's like a snowball going down a hill. You know, it just gets worse and worse and worse. So basically, in addition to the chemotactic substances that are calling in those immune cells to come, you get mitotic signals, which is a signal to cause the cell division in the neighboring cells in the vessel wall. So cells called fibroblasts and also the muscle cells, the smooth muscle cells that are there, also begin dividing. And then while all this activity is happening, there's another thing that happens, and you talked about adhesion or like Velcro. The cells actually put out some what are called cell adhesion molecules, and that does in fact cause more LDLs to attach, but they're then pulled into the wall so that those LDLs attach and then they become oxidized. And now the macrophages start eating them and they become so engorged with the LDLs and the oxidized LDLs that they can no longer do their function, and they're actually called foam cells, and they're just full of fat. And as all these things are happening and these adhesion molecules are causing LDLs to attach, things like calcium are getting pulled in, and that contributes to the formation of the plaque. So the plaque grows and grows and grows, and, you know, ultimately it's going to narrow the vessel wall. But what may be even a worse problem than narrowing the vessel wall is the fact that it's vulnerable and it easily can rupture. And when it ruptures, that of course is going to cause, you know, a blood to come in, and then there's going to be a blood clot formed, and that is, of course, what can cause a heart attack or a stroke and can be a fatal event.
And that really is the crux of it. What's interesting to me is that it is not as much the narrowing of the vessel as it is this disruption in that inner layer, the intima, that, as you said, it's almost like a pimple. Mm-hmm. That then blood comes out and you've got a thrombus, a clot, and that's the problem.
Exactly. And it's a sad kind of a situation, because a lot of people don't even realize that they have this. And the sad part of it is that measuring cholesterol is not going to determine that any of this is going on in a person's body, because it isn't how much cholesterol you have. And, you know, of course, the allopathic medicine is big on, you know, lowering everybody's cholesterol numbers, but we need cholesterol. It's a vital substance in our body. It's critical for the, you know, formation of all of our adrenal cortical hormones, the steroid hormones. It's critical for all of our cell membranes. You know, it's in fact, when an interesting thing that happens with the formation of plaques is that cholesterol is actually brought into the cells. When you have an injury, there's a signal that gets sent out to bring some cholesterol here so we can heal this injury. And that's one of the things that happens that, you know, will contribute to the collection of cholesterol within the plaque.
It's the Band-Aid.
Yes, the Band-Aid. But literally all cells in our body require about, they're made up of about 20% cholesterol of the lipids that are in the cell membrane. So it's, you know, stopping cholesterol synthesis is, you know, not necessarily something we want to do, which is of course what the statin drugs do. They inhibit the synthesis of cholesterol. And you of course know what the other problem with that is, and which has to do with another very important molecule in heart health, which is CoQ10.
And what I'd like to do, Anne, I'd like to talk more about the CoQ10 as well because of its importance in cardiovascular. We're going to take a brief break, and I'm going to remind the listeners that you're listening to Anne Allworth. We're talking about cardiovascular disease, and we're busting some myths. And we want you to stay with us. This is The Essentials of Healthy Living. I'm your host, Dana Lake. We'll be back right after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to The Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, Maryland. You can reach Village Green through myvillagegreen.com. It's a great website. I encourage you to access it, myvillagegreen.com. We've been talking with Anne Allworth about cardiovascular disease, and I'm going to repeat, because we'll repeat this at every segment, cholesterol is not the cause of cardiovascular disease. It is an association. Smoke alarms are associated with fires. They are responding to the fire. Cholesterol is responding to the injury in the vessel, and the cause of heart disease, the initiator, is the injury. And Anne went over a lot of items with us. I'll say aging, genetics, high blood pressure, oxidation of LDLs, inflammation anywhere, the fire spreads, infections. And I will add margarine, the hydrogenated oils, major cause. Fried fats, because they release free radicals. And free radicals are those nasty molecules that are hyperactive, and they damage cells. And stress, diabetes. So these are some of the things that injure the vessel to which cholesterol responds as an attempt to heal what is happening inside that first layer of the vessel called the intima. So take it away, Anne.
Well, thanks again, Dana. I think we were just mentioning now about the importance of CoQ10 and how it relates to statin drugs, and that statin drugs, of course, are inhibiting the synthesis of cholesterol. But what a lot of folks don't realize is that what statin drugs do is inhibit the synthesis of CoQ10 as well. And that's because they share, their biosynthetic pathways share a common enzyme. And then, of course, the pathways diverge to, you know, create the final molecules. But the fact of the matter is that statin drugs inhibit the synthesis of CoQ10. And why that's really relevant to cardiovascular health and health in general is that CoQ10 is a molecule that is part of what we call the electron transport chain in mitochondria of your cells, which produce energy. This is how all cells, you know, receive their energy, is through the electron transport chain. And when you are inhibiting the synthesis of a molecule that's critical in that chain, this is not a good thing, of course. Furthermore, CoQ10 is quite an important antioxidant in the heart. But if you think about the fact that you're inhibiting the synthesis of CoQ10 and how that might impact the heart. The heart is is the only organ in our body. Well, it's not the only organ in our body. I mean, certainly the brain is always working as well, and the lungs, but the heart beats all the time, and you know it's going to beat incessantly, and of course it's going to require oxygen and energy to do that, and oxygen, but the energy requirements of the heart are quite high relative to other parts of the body, as you can imagine. So when you have a deficiency of CoQ10, it's going to affect the heart. And there is some evidence now that people who take statin drugs oftentimes will end up with congestive heart failure, and there's a growing body of evidence that suggests that's because of the chronic depletion of CoQ10.
Right. You know, the CoQ10 story is interesting, and one of the companies that makes a statin has long talked about coupling CoQ10 with the statin, because people who are taking statins and not taking CoQ10 are at high risk for not just muscle damage elsewhere in the body, but heart muscle damage and developing an irreversible cardiomyopathy. So we always advise our patients to cover with CoQ10. And if people are taking a statin at greater than 20 milligrams, according to the research, they're already likely experiencing some cell muscle fiber damage.
Exactly, exactly. And this is, and I'm glad that we're talking about it, because I think a lot of people are not aware of it, and it's something that's critical to their health. So upwards of 37% of people taking statin drugs end up with congestive heart failure because of the cardiomyopathy you were just talking about.
Yes, that, you know, that's, there's not enough attention to that. And the other thing the other fact that we do not hear enough about is that if you take these statins to reduce the cholesterol low enough, as cholesterols go below 180, there is an increased risk for stroke, especially below 160. And the statin literature doesn't advertise that it improves the death rate. It says it improves death from heart attacks.
Right.
You know, but it can increase the death rate, and especially suicides. And the theory on that is very clear. The brain is made, the dry weight of the brain, 60% of it at least, is cholesterol. When you start lowering the cholesterol, you are interfering with the brain structure. And cholesterol is necessary for serotonin.
Right.
So it's not a surprise. And I'm just going to put another plug in there. You know, I deal with autism. One of the new findings in autism is that many of the children with autism have extremely low cholesterol levels.
Right. And that's not surprising. And it's just like you said. And also there are not only suicide, but a lot of dementia and things like that in the elderly is being, you know, now attributed to the statin drugs, and when they're taken off of it, their dementia disappears. And you know, it's a pretty sad situation. Anytime you're inhibiting a molecule as important as cholesterol is in our bodies, is always going to result in a bad situation, because you know, homeostatically, our bodies are designed to function by knowing, you know, how much we're producing and not having that interfered with. And when you interfere with the production of an important molecule, you can end up with all sorts of problems.
Well, and this is what, this is a perfect lead-in to what's a big concern, is that statins are now being recommended for children with high cholesterols. And most of these children have high cholesterols from sugar, because sugar is converted by insulin to triglycerides, which raise LDL cholesterol. It also creates free radical release. It also creates inflammation throughout the body. And so the blood shows high cholesterol, and they're put on inappropriate low-fat diets,
right,
especially homogenized milk, which is pro-inflammatory. And they are still encouraged to consume what really is not whole grains through cold cereals and pasta breads, crackers, pretzels. It's that series of foods causing the problem.
Exactly. And that's another myth that, you know, that is rampant in our country, is that, you know, people don't realize that the sugars are, you know, responsible for high cholesterol levels.
Yes, my first mentor, George Mitchell, and I always give a hats off to him because he absolutely talked about sugar control until I think the patients were sick of hearing about it.
Uh-huh.
And it takes years sometimes to understand when somebody is such a forward-thinking individual. He had this down pat 40 years ago. Sugar's the problem. Sugar's the problem. And that's what we found out. Not just for diabetes and obesity. Everybody understands that. But for everything from these inflammatory disorders, joint problems, inflammation, cardiovascular disease, vessel injury. And that's exactly what the typical child gets most of.
Right. You're right. The standard American diet, which we call the SAD diet.
I love that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Well, we have just less than 2 minutes. Let's talk a little bit more about CoQ10 and its role in protecting cardiovascular disease against cardiovascular.
Well, I think, you know, one of the real important parts of CoQ10 or the important aspects of CoQ10 is that it provides the energy for, your heart to do what it needs to do, and when the heart doesn't have enough energy, it doesn't pump what it needs to pump, and then the cells in the tissue are not getting what they need in terms of oxygen and nutrients. Furthermore, CoQ10 is known to work with vitamin E. In fact, to be very important in removing free radicals in heart tissue and in tissues of the vasculature. And on that note, I do want to say that, you know, Megafood has a great CoQ10 product, which is, you know, Essentials CoQ10 that is delivered with apples, beets, broccoli, and spinach, which, you know, is a food base that helps our body to be able to use the CoQ10. We also have a great cholesterol formula that doesn't inhibit the synthesis of cholesterol, but rather does, you know, attacks the various kinds of things that happen when the injury occurs to the intima, so that, you know, it helps with, the cell proliferation. It helps to modify the inflammatory response and all of those kinds of things. It has multiple ingredients. We also have a great cardio formula, which targets high blood pressure and homocysteine levels, causes of angina, and, of course, vitamin E. A complete vitamin E that has all tocotrienols and tocopherols, and magnesium, which we didn't really talk about, but we have the only whole food magnesium supplement available. And magnesium is, deficiencies of magnesium are even thought to contribute to sudden death by a heart attack because of how important magnesium is, and there's a lot of evidence that maybe upwards of 40 to 50% of the American population has magnesium deficiencies.
Well, magnesium is my favorite nutrient, and Anne, I want you to expand on these nutritional aspects in our next segment, and I'm encouraging our listeners to stay with us. We have more new information for you and news you can use on cardiovascular disease with Anne Allworth, and this is Dana Lake. I'm your host for the Essentials of Healthy Living. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for this hour. And this is our last segment with Anne Allworth. We've been talking about cardiovascular disease and ways to prevent it. We went over diet, and I talked about diet earlier on. And we've been talking also about supplements. And Anne was mentioning the variety of supplements. I'd like to go a little bit more into magnesium, Anne. When magnesium's low, you get spasms. Most of you have had a leg spasm or a Charlie horse. Well, that's low magnesium and its twin, potassium, and it can be low calcium and D as well. But when vessels spasm, we get a shortage of blood to the tissue, and that can be a heart attack or a stroke. If it happens in the brain, it can cause a stroke. If it happens in the heart, the tissue dies. It's the same as a blocked vessel. And this is a much more common cause. And interestingly enough, there are many people, and I've had young patients, and meaning in their 30s and 40s, who have had heart attacks with no cholesterol problem, no plaque that's visible by examination. Yet when tested for magnesium, they were low, and it makes all kinds of sense.
Indeed, it does, Dana. There, magnesium, and it's interesting, magnesium deficiencies are thought to be having to do with, you know, our diet and also the water, you know, the deficiency of magnesium in the water. But in fact, magnesium is critical to the muscle cells in the wall of the vessel, but also to the heart muscle itself. And in fact, you know, it can cause a disruption of what's called the conduction system of the heart, and the conduction system is the electrical system that causes our heart to beat the way it should beat in a regular rhythm and so on. But when that conduction system is interrupted or affected, which can happen with low levels of magnesium, this brings on what are called arrhythmias, and arrhythmia can be either your heart is beating too slow, or it's beating too fast, or it's beating irregularly. Now, this could, you know, manifest itself as something as simple as a palpitation, or as serious as fibrillation, which can be deadly, because as soon as your heart starts doing a fibrillation where it's beating in complete random, you know, ways, you're no longer pumping blood out of your heart.
That's well said. And I know that your whole foods magnesium is from the foods that are rich in magnesium. So I'd like to run that by the listeners so they can know what they should be eating for lunch today.
Well, you know, I would like to, you know, certainly magnesium is, nuts is a great source, whole grain cereals, seafoods, and green leafy vegetables are, you know, very good, and you may have some more to add to that. But I would, before we move on from that, I would like to say that the magnesium that we, our whole food magnesium is delivered in nutritional yeast. So that nutritional yeast is a great source of magnesium, but we, of course, enhance the magnesium levels in the nutritional yeast in our whole food supplement.
And it's that the vegetables are the issue, and this is why so many children today have signs of behavior problems, hyperactivity. When magnesium's low, there's neuromuscular excitability. People overreact to their environment. They have knee-jerk responses, easy startle. Hyperactivity is part of it, and it's not just an observation. We do the magnesium red blood cell mineral tests so we can document it. Talk a little bit about the factors that reduce homocysteine, and our listeners, I'll remind them that that is an inflammatory agent that you can have tested in your bloodstream, and if it's elevated, 8 or above, then you are at risk for cardiovascular disease. Tell us about it, Anne.
Well, you're at risk for cardiovascular disease because we know that high levels of homocysteine, and that molecule literally causes nicks in the vessel wall, and there we've got that injury begun. And vitamin B12, vitamin B6, and folic acid, another B vitamin, are all critical to keeping those levels low. So that's why those three vitamins are in the cardiovascular formula that we have, the cardio strength formula, because it's so important to keep those levels low. And it's interesting, you know, homocysteine is a molecule. It's an amino acid that's part of, you know, amino acid biochemical pathways. And in any biochemical pathway, there are enzymes, and there's a genetic disorder which alerted the medical community to the whole homocysteine issue. And there are some people who are born without that enzyme that converts the homocysteine to its safe form, and those young people live to be, you know, maybe 9 or 10 years old, and they have the vasculature of 80 or 90 year old people, and they're all full of plaques and so on and so forth. And so that's how we know that, that's how we began to understand why homocysteine is so dangerous. And it really is responsible for setting off the inflammatory reaction that starts the plaques growing. And, of course, if you don't get enough B vitamins, that's going to be a problem, because B vitamins are cofactors that are involved in those biochemical pathways as well.
Now, what is in the supplement that MegaFood makes to reduce homocysteine?
Well, we have B6, B12, and folic acid, and the formula, so that those are really the components that are, are targeting the homocysteine levels. And then, you know, the formula also contains many other things, including magnesium, vitamin E, and potassium. There's also rhodiola. There's a lot of herbs that people know are supportive of heart health. So there's rhodiola, dandelion, hawthorn, flower and leaf, which, of course, is really important to the heart, and that's because it supports the connective tissue. And people don't even think about the connective tissue in the heart, but it particularly is important because it holds the heart together and allows the beating of the heart to happen the way it's supposed to. And if that connective tissue is damaged or isn't supported properly, that isn't going to happen. Furthermore, the vessels have connective tissue in them, which helps with their flexibility and ability to relax and contract when they need to. The formula has also got cramp bark, which is important, is that, and I don't think we probably have time to talk about all the things that are what everything is doing, but I just want to point out that, you know, there are multiple ingredients. There's some cardio antioxidants that we talked about, CoQ10, and then the formula also has grapeseed extract in it, which of course has the resveratrols and OPCs. There's also pine bark, and then there's some food concentrates and phytonutrients that we know are very important to heart health, including garlic, pomegranate, blueberry concentrate, onion, tomato, watercress. And the pomegranate is at a concentration of 55 to 1, and that's a, you know, that's a great, important food for cardiovascular health. So, you know, I think you can see that this formula really has many, many substances that people might buy individually, but they can get them all in this one formula, which is, of course, a great benefit both financially and just, like, not clogging up your medicine cabinet.
Well, it's nice to have the combinations, and as you probably have explained before, sometimes people are just taking folic acid, and it loses its functionality if it doesn't have B12 and B6 and many of these other cofactors, and that's why these combinations are so nice.
Yes, and that's a very good point. You're absolutely right. And the other thing is the synergy that's created when you have a formula that's, you know, is designed to meet a specific physiologic challenge. It's attacking the problem from all kinds of different avenues, and so you get a synergy and, you know, a health. I have to say, you know, in my previous life, before I became involved in this industry, I was a medical school professor and was taking blood pressure medicine and also a statin drug, and I take neither of those any longer.
Good
and,
for you.
I'm much healthier than I was then, so.
And, you know, medications, I think we're all aware, are important, and I'm grateful for the medications we have. But unfortunately, they seem to have become the end-all, be-all, and the actually helping the body help itself has gone out the window. And I want to thank you, Anne, for helping our listeners help their bodies help themselves.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I agree. I think it's important to, certainly the medications are important, but they don't address the the issue of what's wrong and healing from within, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to you being a guest again. We always have interesting discussions.
Well, thank you too, Dana.
All righty. I just wanted to remind you, listeners, of what Ann taught us. If you've just tuned in, I'm going to remind you of the basics, kind of like the summary. Cholesterol is not the cause of cardiovascular disease. Cholesterol is responding to the injury in the vessel, and what causes injury in vessels is inflammation, infections, aging, genetics, high blood pressure, stress, diabetes, fried fats, margarine, trans fatty acids, and overeating even good foods. Overeating releases free radicals. So that's our final message for you, reminding you to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Essentials of Healthy Living, and to go on myvillagegreen.com and go green with us. I want to thank you for joining us, and remember to take care of yourself and at least one other person, and go green. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a really great day.